Ramsey TV.
Let's talk a little bit about scoffers today, and let's talk more about the white horse rider who has the bow and the wreath, because the key words here are white, bow, and wreath. Obviously, this is Martin Zender, and I'm coming to you here early morning at my headquarters in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'm basing today's comments on some comments I have gotten in the last couple days on my videos concerning the white horse rider. Martin, stick to Paul's gospel. You're off the rails. Get back on track. I think I'm known as the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. The entire scriptures are the field of my endeavor. And as I talk about current events here, which I rarely do, but as I do, they are related to the times we are in. To not talk about it, this is why I launched the Revelation series in 2014, because I knew we were in the era of the end. I mean, the Antichrist lives 50 miles from me. How's that? The Antichrist lives 50 miles to the north of me. Pretty interesting. This would it would be like living in the time of Christ, like being Jesus Christ's neighbor and wanting to talk about it, assuming you knew that he was the Messiah. And yeah, quit talking about that. Quit talking about that. Let's talk about Isaiah. Let's talk about Ezekiel. Let's talk about Hosea. Well, let's talk about that the Messiah is in my neighborhood. How about that? Yeah. So if you don't think it's interesting, at least, that we're living in the times prophesied by all the prophets, and especially the time prophesied by John on the island of Patmos, getting the revelation. And in chapter 12, for instance, he sees this constellation. He sees this arrangement of the planets, of the sun, and of the moon, and he describes it. And then in your day, you aim your phone with the with your app, your constellation app, whatever, up in the sky, and you see the exact thing that John saw. That's not interesting? Okay, move on. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about something different. I just plan on talking about this one more day for now. However, if I get complaints, I'll definitely talk about it for three more days. So there's that. Let's talk about the scoffers, because there are some scoffers. And you had to see this coming, honestly, concerning the final years of Millennium 6. You notice I avoid saying the end times. Why? Because it's such a hackneyed, it's like the rapture. It's a Christian phrase, and people hear it and they roll their eyes. Who does that? The scoffers. Are there scoffers among us? Oh yeah, of course there are. And so I like to use the final years of Millennium 6 as such. It's a much more intelligent phrase because it implies a countdown of years. And God gives us an ability to count down the years from Adam. Or should I say count up the years from Adam until we get to 6,000. Why were all these people wrong? Everybody tried to predict who the Antichrist was. Everybody tried to predict when the Christ was going to return. It doesn't make any freaking difference how many people did. If 6,000 years doesn't transpire, everybody's wrong. So you could have 100 predictions a day. It's all a matter of elapsed time. It's that simple. And once 6,000 years has expired, 6,000 years, 6 being the number of humanity, 1,000-year kingdom, 1,000 being, of course, the stopping of God, the rest, some people call it Israel coming in to the kingdom. It's the magic 6-1 ratio. 6 days of creation, 1 day of stopping, 6,000 years of human rule, 1,000 years of peace and rest for the earth. This is why the reason we speak in 6,000-year increments is because the kingdom on earth, when Christ returns, sets up Israel, is 1,000 years. And we have the interesting passage, 2 Peter 3:8, I call it the Rosetta Stone. to the Lord, a thousand years is as a day. A day is as a thousand years. Going to get to that passage. But here come the scoffers with their scoffing. And this is the golden logic, which says, because everybody else who said that these were the end times, because they were wrong, therefore you're wrong. That's the kind of logic we're confronting here. There's a term for it in Scripture. It's called scoffing. And here it is. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this, that in the last days, in the last days, scoffers will be coming with their scoffing. So the people who say these aren't the last days, they're proof that they are the last days. I just thought of that. Isn't that beautiful? The people, the fact that there are scoffers. I mean, you couldn't have scoffers years ago because the predictions that we know of weren't wrong yet. So you have to have wrong predictions of the end times, predictions of who the Antichrist is. You have to have a long record of that in order to breed the scoffers, because the scoffers go, well, damn, is all failed predictions. So there ain't, obviously you're going to be a failed prediction. Why? Well, because them other ones were failed predictions. What? Okay. So you can't even have a scoffer until, and Peter verifies this, in the last days scoffers will be scoffing, coming with their scoffing. So the fact that we have scoffers proves that we're in the last days. The very people who would totally object to these being the last days are proof that they are the last days. I make sense for a living. It's a burden at times, but I'm glad to be in this position. So, in the last days, this is juicy. This is golden. In the last days, the presence of the scoffers are proof that it's the last days. Thank you, scoffers. Thank you, scoffers. Oh, my God. Oh, God. All right, I recover from this. Here we go. In the last days, scoffers will be coming. All right. Where's my sunglasses? Hang on a second. In the last days, hold on to that verse. Hold on to that verse. Hold on to that verse. All right. In the last days, scoffers will be coming with their scoffing. Of course, what else would scoffers come with? It only stands to reason. Scoffers come with scoffing. Going according to their own desires and say, this is interesting. Their own desires. This suggests to me that maybe, I mean, I can't say this, apply it to all the scoffers, but I know one particular case where a scoffer, it's this person's desire that these not be the last days because of being in love with the current aeon. Just like Demas in Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter. Paul says, Demas, loving this current aeon, went to Thessalonica. Well, stands the reason, if you love this current aeon, where else would you go but Thessalonica? That's where I would go if I loved the aeon. I was saying, do you know the way to Thessalonica? That's, I would go there. But anyway, they go along with their own desire, saying, where is the promise of his presence? Yeah, it's like, well, where is he? Because here's the scoffing part. For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. It's the wearing down of the sameness. I can easily put the voice of Eeyore to the scoffers. Like this. Here's how that would work. It's like, where is the promise of his presence? Since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. He's not gonna come today.
or tomorrow, or the next day, it's going to be another cycle. Another cycle of predictive misadventure.
Well, Eeyore, that's interesting theory. I prefer Tigger myself. The wonderful thing about Tiggers, the Tigger's a wonderful thing, right? Their tops are made out of rubber, and their bottoms are made out of springs. See, they're bouncy, clouncy, pouncy, flouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. So I'm Tigger, and I'm counting the years from Adam, as I do in the Revelation series, start with show around show 700, and you'll see a sub-series, Final Years of Millennium 6. If you don't know what I'm talking about the 6-1 ratio, go there, you'll be thrilled. So, scoffers, and it's this, because everything is continued thus. That's it. Everything is continued thus. Peter says they want to be oblivious of this, that there were heavens of old and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. What's Peter talking about there? I hope I get to the white, the bow, and the wreath. I might not even get to it. I had no idea I was going to do this with the scoffers, but it's been very enjoyable for me. I haven't had a good laugh like that in a long time, so I cracked myself up. I got much to say on the white, because people are missing that part. Why? Okay, I'll give you a little preview. I'll probably do this tomorrow, because I'm going to whet your appetite. The objections have come. Martin, how can you say that the man of lawlessness is not technically a man of war? He's conquering. He's conquering. So obviously, he's sending out armies. You say that he's conquering corruption, but he's sending out armies. He's killing people. Well, you're adding to the scripture there, but we'll get into that tomorrow. That's all right. That's all right. This is my job. I can take the hits. I can take the criticism. Am I always right? No, of course not. I'm not always right. But I'm right a lot of the times because I look at details. Details that other people miss. I don't say that to my credit. Well, yes, actually I do. All right, so the scoffers go with their scoffing, and Peter is saying that there have been, see, people, this is the thing, people get lulled to sleep because of the sameness of everything. So this is one of the chief characteristics of the scoffers. They get lulled to sleep, and they're not watching, they're not looking. Now, I will say this, as members of the body of Christ, we don't have to watch. And some of the objections to me are that, why are you even bothering with this? Because this has to do with Israel. Get back to Paul's evangel. I don't care that your ratio to Paul's evangel to other parts of scripture are 100-1. I don't care about that. I don't like the one. Sure, the ratio is 100-1. For every 100 parts that you work with the Apostle Paul, there's one part where you win other books of the Bible. We don't like that one part. You get rid of that one. All right, this is not everybody. So thank God. The reason I'm continuing this, one of the reasons, is I do like to, you know, make my audience happy, is that most of you are happy about this. Martin, keep talking about this. We want you to talk about this because, you know, you seem to have some insights and you put them in with the scriptures, and you have a unique viewpoint. So thank you very much. Thank you. But I have to deal with these other things. So it's the sameness, and it's the fact that we have not lived with any sort of cataclysm. Remember, Peter's not talking about his day with the scoffers. In the last days, Peter wasn't living in the last days. In the last days, scoffers will come with their scoffing. In the last days. I'll start laughing again if I talk about this again. I'll start laughing again. I don't want to do that again. Okay, it's because of the sameness. So you can say it's the sameness of the fact that none of us, as we were, have been alive, have experienced cataclysmic judgment. And the two judgments Peter's talking about are the flood of the disruption of the world and the flood of Noah. Of course, the disruption of the world, Genesis 1:1, no human being was around to witness it because humanity had not been created yet. Adam had not been created. Adam was created after the disruption of the world, when God is bringing forth the land from the disruption. So, but nevertheless, it was still something that happened. We look at the disruption of the earth, which predates the flood of Noah, and we just think of it as so vaguely. It just seems, yeah, it was a terrible thing, but it happened on a day. It happened at a certain time. Let's put it that way. At a certain time, it happened. And the flood of Noah, as I always say, happened on an afternoon. The day of the flood of Noah started like any other day. The sun came up. The birds were chirping. You went and made a vat of oatmeal for your children. You went to your job. And even at lunchtime, it was even at lunch, on the day the epic flood of Noah started, when the entire population of humanity was about to be wiped out, save for 8 people. That day, even up until lunchtime, was an ordinary day. You took your sack lunch, you went to work, you sat down at your office, secretary got you coffee, you said hello to your coworkers, you looked out the window every once in a while, everything looked good. And then at 2 o'clock, it started getting dark. And the clouds came in thicker and heavier than you've ever seen them before. At 2 o'clock. And by 2:20 p.m., it started to rain. That is how quickly the flood of Noah overtook the inhabitants of that generation. It is also how quickly and swiftly the events of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the events of what is famously known as the tribulation or the day of indignation. In fact, when it starts, it's not like the day of Noah in that the rain starts. I mean, it's going to start, but it's going to start more subtly than many of us realize, and it will be underway before most people have even detected that it has begun. But I say this again. We're only paying attention to Israel because our snatching away, that's what we're looking for. Our snatching away precedes God's taking up again with Israel. The tribulation and the signs of the end. Oh, somebody else is saying there's no prophecy coming true. No prophecy applies until after the snatching away. As if things aren't developing. As if the prophecy happens in some kind of void, in some kind of vacuum, comes out of nowhere, as if every prophecy doesn't have a buildup, doesn't have pieces that are starting to come together. I mean, as if Joseph and Mary aren't on the earth. You have the prophecy of Jesus being born. Well, that prophecy doesn't happen until he's born. Joseph's born, Mary's born, they're coming together, they're dating, they're going out to the movies. Something's happening between these two. You're telling me that's not part of the fulfillment of prophecy? Them just fact that they're alive? That's not interesting? That's not exciting? No prophecy comes true until we're snatched away. Paul's a prophet. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous periods will be present. To those who say, there's no prophecy being fulfilled today. Paul's a prophet in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. Read the rest of it. Are we not living in those days? Oopsie daisy, I guess prophecy does happen in our lifetime. And it is happening in our lifetime. The only reason I care, I mean, I do care about Israel because I love Israel. But if we can read the signs to Israel, not that we have to, not that we need to. We don't need to. We're in the body of Christ. We can be snatched away at any time. But don't you think it's a little interesting that we're living in the time where these things that are prophesied about are beginning to happen? It's birth pangs. Yeah, the birth doesn't come to a certain time, but there are birth pangs preceding it. Wake up, scoffers. prophecy is being fulfilled today. That is the buildup, the necessary pieces in the place. Joseph and Mary are dating. Joseph and Mary are dating.